You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved. The greatest trio of C-minus students ever assembled.
The point I'm making is, like, you know, we talk about this.
52 states, by the way.
No, there's...
What did you just say?
Yeah, hold on. I think there's 52.
Yeah.
No, we need to make sure that is on tape right there.
Oh, it is, right.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Brian Hayes, Jamie Noodles, McLennan, the O-Dog on a personal week. Not a personal day, it's a personal week. Yes, that's true. It's plural. It's weeks.
Personal weeks.
We will see him in 2019.
Yes.
We think.
Not just 2019, like into.
Well into the new year. Now, to be fair to the medium-sized guy, I can't call him big guy.
Yeah, I can't call him the big guy, no.
The medium-sized guy, he will be in Vancouver at the World Juniors. And
Doesn't that start like the 26th, though?
Yeah. I don't have any control over it. I don't know what his story is. He claims he's trying to convince everybody online that he's doing all this scouting and preparation. There's no chance he's prepping for the tourney. He's going to get there, watch the games, do his thing.
Zero chance he's prepping this week. Maybe next week he'll do a crash course on the plane to Vancouver.
He'll know the Canadian lineup.
Yeah, well, that's all you need.
Yeah, I think ultimately. That's all you need. You know, let's be honest. When it comes to this tournament, I'm curious to see Jack Hughes, who is supposed to go first overall in this upcoming draft.
Sounds like Hughes is going to be a difference maker, too.
Yeah. I'm curious to see him. But for the most part, you just get caught up in the Canadian games. And, you know, it's one of those tournaments where it just, there's so much going on in December.
Right.
And then, you know, getting through Christmas and all that, then you wake up and you're like, oh, it started. Who are they playing tonight?
Yeah.
And I don't profess to be Mr. Junior Hockey because I'm not. I don't know enough about the players, but every year you leave the tournament knowing a lot about the players, and every year you leave it saying, well, that kid's going to be a great player. This kid's got the chance of being a very good player. Usually you look at it based on the organizations that are represented.
I still, when I watch the World Juniors, I always try and take a step back because I think, and I'm pumping up our own company, but TSN does such a great job of profiling all of these players so that these players become household names. And if they have a good tournament, everyone just like, there's the next star in the NHL. There's this. And what happens is it creates, if the guy arrives at the NHL level or arrives to the pro level, everyone just thinks he's going to replicate what he did in the junior tournament. People don't realize that the NHL is such a, like, that's a miles away from junior hockey.
And almost every player in the NHL was in that tournament, too.
But you're right. Well. So I think of the heroes that are created in that tournament. Curtis Lazar was a superstar in that tournament. Lazar struggling to be an NHLer. Jake Virtanen was a world beater in that tournament. Now, he's a good player. Virtanen's really have a good season for Vancouver. But it's taken him a while to learn how to be a good NHLer. So, remember Max Domi? Max Domi was, you know, running the show out there. Everyone was like, this guy's going to be a 100-point guy in the NHL. It's finally taken him, what, he's 22, 23 now? And he's becoming a very good player. Like, I always try and put a collective pause on that tournament and say, you know, Vasilevsky, I remember Ray even saying, from the day he watched Vasilevsky play, he said, I don't know a lot about goaltending, but he's like, this guy seems like he's going to be a star. He is a star. But Vasilevsky's 24 now. Like, it took him a while to grow. So you can see all these kids at the young tournament. Some of them, they just arrive at their own pace. We were just talking about Mitch Marner has arrived. You know, it took him a couple years.
Yeah.
Other guys hit the ground running. And then there's other players that you can call them late bloomers when they arrive at 23. Like, that's basically a late bloomer for high draft pick.
Based on the way the NHL works now. Yeah. And, I mean, Mitch Marner is a big part of the discussion today. Our buddy Jonas Siegel wrote a piece in The Athletic kind of profiling his upbringing and how dominant he was in junior. And
I will say this. I'm sorry to interrupt, but in reading that article, my only concern is that if Mitch didn't make it, sounds like they spent a lot of money on his development. Like a lot. Like yes. this kid had
Which
a personal.
It's not exclusive to the Marner family.
No, this is a Canadian.
This is,
but it seems story. Like it's an excessive Canadian story. Like there's, you know, his dad talking to a trainer at 4 years old, skills coach and stuff like that.
That seems like a bit much. But I guess, you know, now that you look
out.
At where he is, it worked out exactly.
I would argue how many people it hasn't. I'd like to see the statistics.
Well, it's those way more that don't. You know, right. It's a very small percentage of guys that actually make it to the NHL. It just doesn't. And at 4 years old, usually the best player at four is not the best player even at eight, let alone 18. Here joining us now on the Maple Toyota Hotline, here's Ray Ferraro, TSN hockey analyst. What's up, Ray?
Just thinking, you know, I understand O is taking a personal week before the World Junior.
Yeah.
He's off for the next
3 weeks. Yeah.
So, but he's going to be at the World Juniors, right?
Yes, he will be, yes.
Yeah, so he does the studio show for the Canadian Games. There possibly could be seven of those.
Yeah.
Possibly.
Well, he tried to convince everybody that he's preparing. What do you think he's doing right now?
He's either skiing or golfing.
Well, yeah. he's not golfing because he's still in Toronto, as far as I know. So he's either snowboarding. I would make a hefty bet. He's listening to the show right now. I'd be willing to put a lot of money that he's sitting somewhere listening to the show.
So, you know, in the old movie Slapshot, of course, when someone says, "Hey, Gordie Howe got a jacket for signing," and they said, "Oh, he needs a new agent," right?
Yes.
So, I'm doing 17 games minimum at the World Juniors. I need a new agent.
No kidding. What are you doing talking to us right now?
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm running that in my head right now. I'm like, what the hell do I want to, what are we talking about?
Yeah.
Well, O just sent out a tweet 55 seconds ago. Just finished up in Switzerland with Duthie. I'm heading home to Canada. So he's trying to convince people that he's doing all of these, you know, scouting trips to prepare, but we should test him on that. Once he gets there, they should just throw a curveball at him. Name five players not on the Canadian team.
Or get him to name five players on the Canadian
team. Yeah. Five players that are on the Canadian team right now.
Right.
Like, actually, would he have been at least paying attention to the Mark Masters or even Bobby on Twitter the other day with the cuts, yep. right? Like,
no way. He's probably blocked McKenzie on Twitter.
It's filling up his timeline.
Yeah. You're getting annoyed with this information, Bob.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, we were just talking about Mitch Marner, and he's a big part of the story here in Toronto. And I don't know if you read Jonas's piece in The Athletic about his upbringing and... you know, I've noticed some backlash to the idea that this was, you know, how he's proved all the doubters wrong when he went fourth overall in the draft.
I don't think there was a lot of doubters. Like, when you're fourth overall, there's expectations.
Yes, and he literally, this is not me being, you know, crazy Leaf guy. He put forth one of the all-time great junior seasons in terms of hardware.
Right.
He won the OHL MVP, the OHL Playoff MVP, the Memorial Cup MVP, the CHL Player of the Year.
Yeah.
Like, you know, this wasn't a seventh-round pick who kind of blossomed at 23.
The story is, you know, I think you said, Brian, it's not that uncommon in Canada to hear stories of, you know, parents going to great lengths to try and enhance their son or daughter's athletic career. The problem is somebody will be Mitch, right? Like, somebody will be Mitch Marner, and that makes a whole bunch of people that aren't even in the ballpark think that they could be.
Yes.
And you can go, I know lots of people, you could get them to go to hundreds of hours of power skating school, and they'll be a better skater, but they'll never be as agile as Mitch. Or they'll never have a shot like Austin Matthews. You could go to the same trainer, shoot the same number of pucks, and not shoot the puck like Austin Matthews.
Yep.
You just can't. Otherwise, everybody would do it, and everybody would be the same. So... yeah, it's crazy as all heck, but I see it in soccer with my little guys. I've seen it in hockey through decades and decades of it. And parents, of course, they're all in a lot of times about their kids. And they're supposed to be the breath of reason, And I don't know that that's always the case.
No, it's a very valid point. You know, this it's almost dangerous to tell these stories. Now, it's your own right. You know, you it's your kid. It's your money. You do whatever you want with it. And, you know, there's some backlash about some of the things Mitch Marner's dad, Paul Marner, had to say. But I'm not surprised by that at all. He loves his kid, and he thinks his kid's a great player, which he is.
Right.
And every parent's going to think that. So I don't chastise Paul Marner for being like, listen, I think he's this, that, the other. Right. He should get this, that, the other. I would almost question him if he didn't think that way. I think every parent is going to be programmed that way. So I have no issues with him pumping the tires of his kid. Of course he's going to do that. But to your point about how other parents are going to read this. Oh, Mitch was doing that at 4? Then my kid's got to do it at 4.
I think it's crazy. Like, at that age. I personally do. Like, that's... And you can see talent in a kid. I think Mitch Marner, even with that type of stuff, would still be a special player. Like, the guys... You're born with talent and how you do it. And I'm not suggesting that Paul Marner's crazy. I just think that what I'm saying is, like, the copycat... If my son's 15 months old, if I want him,
in the gym yet?
I would never do it. No, and I don't even know if I want to put him on the ice. Like I just if he chooses, great. If he doesn't, but I don't know how many times I hear stories about parents that spend $6,000 on a goalie camp for an 8-year-old, and I'm like, you're not going to be Carey Price by 9. Like let the kid play catch in the backyard. Like, I don't know, because I don't have an 8-year-old in hockey right now, but I guarantee you I would bet my life on it. I'm not spending $6,000 on a goalie camp. And you know who's not turning it down? The goalie instructors or the personal trainers or who are training these young kids at that age.
Well, one of the discussion points you get into is, well, yeah, but my kid loves it so much that you've just got to provide for him. Provide the opportunity for him. I understand that. So, now I'll give you an example. Yesterday, it's Sunday afternoon. In Vancouver, they play soccer most of the year.
Yeah.
They take mid-December to kind of the middle part of January off. So, my 12-year-old he's a pretty good little athlete. So, he plays soccer. He hasn't been on the field in 3 weeks because it's the off time of the year. And so yesterday he's getting the itch and he said, okay, let's go to the field and we can go kick the ball. So me and Reese, the 9-year-old, and Riley, the 12-year-old, we go to the field. As we're leaving, Cammy says the same thing all the time. Hey, remember you guys, this isn't practice. So in other words, go have fun.
Right. Yeah.
Now, I don't know what these guys are going to turn out to as soccer players. They love to play. Riley said when we got on the field, oh, my God, I miss this so much. It's so much fun. Well, good. So we went and we kicked the ball. We started at 4 o'clock. By 4:45, you couldn't even see the net. It was so dark. They didn't care. They were just kicking the ball all over the place and making little plays up and having fun. And I'm like, and then I read this story today. And, again, Mitch is a prodigy. This is not normal.
Right.
To be like him or to be like some of these other fantastic players. Like, I don't know if you guys remember the story last year that came out about Evgeny Kuznetsov playing in the far, far, far east of Russia. It's an amazing story. But these guys are outliers. And you can say, yeah, but I'm going to give my son every chance to do that, or my daughter every chance to do that. Great. But don't bankrupt your family. Don't bankrupt everything else that he's doing or she's doing to put everything into a fail or pass about being an athlete. Put it into a fail or pass about being a good person. Because the other stuff's going to come. The people that are pro athletes who have kids, they're the least, in most cases, to push their kids. They want them just to play and to just what you said, Noodles. If they like it, awesome. Fantastic. And we'll keep going. And if they don't, we'll find something else to do.
Yeah.
No.
So you weren't yesterday on the soccer course, pulled out a bunch of cones and had the kids running around cones.
Ray's got a whistle. Ray's whistling at his kids.
I get to do two things there. I get to play goal, which if you've ever tried to play goal in soccer, I can't even stop those guys.
The
I mean,
worst.
They're ventilating me. And the other is, if they miss the net, they'll just go grab another ball, and pretty soon I look, there's like six balls lying in the corner of the field. They're not even going to get them. Now I got to go get, well, I don't got to, but I'm like, nah, yeah, so I run over there. I'm like a golden retriever out there. It's basically what I do.
We've got a World Junior correspondent on the phone that wants to contribute to the conversation. He's a busy guy. I think he just landed from Switzerland, I believe. And
calling in.
You want to hear from this guy?
Let's hear our junior correspondent.
Our junior correspondent. All right, go ahead. Take your shots.
Guys, I'm just saying, like, if my reception's bad, I mean, Switzerland, me and Duffy just did some interviews with the coaches there. If it goes bad, just hang up like you usually want to do.
Yeah.
So we're just heading back to Canada and looking forward to the juniors in Vancouver. Looking forward to seeing Ray and everybody. And I was actually listening to you guys chirp me, and a little bit unfair, but just trying to work hard, right?
Well, that's all you can do,
yeah,
right?
That's all you do.
How's Christian Volvan doing?
He is fantastic.
Which way does he shoot?
Is he a human being or a robot?
He's a goalie.
Is that true?
He's the coach. Yeah.
Now,
this is getting
my information from Mark Masters that said he was a goalie, so I apologize about that. But.
You throw Masters under the bus.
Exactly.
Is that, Ray, is that the coach, the Switzerland coach from last year?
Same guy, you betcha.
Wow. I love that guy.
That guy was our best quote.
Yeah. He'll be back. He'll be back at it again. I'll tell you. Is my phone doing this thing again? Why? You know what?
That's your car door, you donkey.
No, it's not the car door. I mean, when you park, for whatever reason, the car shuts off. Like when you idle, and then it starts up again. Well, I parked in my driveway, and it shut off.
Well,
I don't get it.
You're
it's
still
new
all
technology.
Good. You guys are good. We got two clear cell receptions here. I'm actually very surprised, but very excited about this.
Well, especially one from Switzerland.
No kidding. The mountains. I mean, we got mountains in Vancouver, mountains in Switzerland.
It could have been. I mean, Dave Haxtell, if we had him on Skype, that would have really been perfect, eh?
No kidding.
Well, did the Flyers ever handle that smoothly?
Well, you were tweeting about it on Saturday, though, Ray. Like, that was, wasn't this the most obvious firing in the history of the NHL? I mean, they should have just fired him when they fired Hextall. Everyone knew this was coming.
Well, he was in a terrible spot. Like, obviously, Chuck Fletcher is going to come in and he's going to hire his own coach, in particular because the year's gone the way that it's gone. But after the game, you know, they were terrible out here in Vancouver. Like, they just looked. Well, they look like shell-shocked is what they look like. And then yesterday, this is where you know, I hope people realize there's some people that are real insiders and there's a bunch of people that spew crap all over the place. So apparently Chuck Fletcher hasn't talked to Joel Quenneville in 2 years.
Well, so
yeah, they were announcing.
Yeah, he's not taking over the job tomorrow night.
He's not going to be behind the bench tomorrow night. And so... Scott Gordon's been brought up from the American League team, but it seems like it should have been a lot cleaner of an announcement than the way that it all went down.
Oh, you want to throw out a hot take on that or what?
No, I tweeted today. I mean, that's a butchering of a firing. I mean, there was rumors the other day that they fired the guy, but then other people were saying, no, it actually hasn't happened. Like, regardless of what you think of the coach, you don't do that to people. You just fire him or you don't. You don't. I mean, we lived this like 3 or 4 years ago with the Leafs. I mean, the Philadelphia Flyers, they're going through the same mess. Wasn't it kind of similar? Like, who's going to be the coach? Who is doing this? It's just, it's embarrassing.
Yeah, and the team kind of knows it too. That's what it feels like to me watching them play.
Awful.
They know that there's serious change around the corner. So, you know, now they got to be pros, but that's just, it seems like it's human nature because they got some talent on that team, but they're doing nothing. Like Philly
is doing
nothing.
And by the way, Brian, why would Joel Quenneville? The rumors are about Joel Quenneville. Why would he want to sacrifice his own legacy and say, "I got to turn this ship around in what, like 4 months"? He's not that stupid. He'll sit in the weeds and he'll say, "You make adjustments, get me a goaltender." I don't know if this kid and what a thing to do to this kid, the goaltender Carter Hart they brought up. Where it's like, you're the next thing. But he hasn't even played well in the American League. So now he's supposed to save the franchise. I mean, Jamie can talk on that, but I don't know if that's really fair. He hasn't put up numbers there. So now it's on him, and he's probably crapping his pants. This has been a goaltender graveyard for 25 years. So what a mess.
Well, Noodles, you came out as a young guy, right?
Yep.
And when you first got to the NHL, like, what could that have looked like compared to the shots you were facing in Capital District? And now Carter Hart's supposed to be the savior here? I'd assume it's a bigger step than any other position to make.
It's a bigger step. Some guys adjust a little quicker because at the NHL level, there's a lot more responsibility, so there's a lot more trust technically. For example, if a shot's coming, the goaltender's responsible for it, the back door, the defenseman's responsible for it. At lower levels, the play is a lot more scrambly, so the NHL is supposed to be cut and dry, but Philly's not there yet as a team in front of them. They're still giving up high quality chances. They're still they're a team that needs a lot more structure in front of them. So I think Hart's got a chance to be a really good goaltender, but my worry is he has a good week, and then they're going to force feed him to be there the whole time. I still think he needs to grow. And I saw you battling with somebody on Twitter, Ray, about his numbers.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, the last four games he's been really good, but before that, he's still learning to be a pro, and I think it's a real tough situation to put him in because he's supposed to be the savior. What if he doesn't save them?
Right.
Could it put his development back?
And that's a fan base that is jaded with goaltenders anyway. You know,
correct.
Like they're,
right.
They're programmed to think this isn't going to work out, which is a psyche that, you know, a lot of fan bases are familiar with. But if this guy comes up and struggles, doesn't mean his career is over. Right. But you know how they're going to react in Philly. Now, here we go again.
Here we go again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So. Well, the one thing that might be an advantage for him, I just thought of this, is that, you know, the coach now, Scott Gordon, that was his coach last week.
Right.
Right.
Do you think that's a coincidence? I mean, they had injuries, but do you think they were waiting to make this move? Like, kind of, we're going to bring him up as a coach, and at the same time, we'll bring up the goalie?
Geez, I don't know. But what did they end up with? Three other guys hurt in goal. I mean, Stolarz got hurt the other day, too. Man, not only is their goaltending position no good, it's a MASH unit right now, too.
Well, and they're not rushing to get back into the lineup either.
You mean to tell me when you guys are getting ventilated, nobody's saying, hey, I should get back and play goal?
Yeah, like I would make sure, like, there's not a chance you're like, oh, I've got to force my way back into that lineup right now. I think Philly's a better team than they show. I really do. I think there's some talent there. I think there's some top-end talent. But it's not working. They can't get a save. It's like St. Louis. They can't get a save when they need it, and the team is just, the confidence is shot, and they need a change there. I don't think Scott Gordon's going to come in and shake the world up, but if Carter Hart can just give them a save, maybe they can feed off of it. And I'm seeing the same thing in St. Louis right now. That team is struggling.
Yeah, they're a mess. I mean, they can't get out of the first 5 minutes. What are they? Two of their last three home games, they lost, what'd they lose, 7-2?
Yeah.
I mean, like, holy smokes, what a terrible run they're on. That's, it seems like it's unfixable right now.
Well, I mean, we still got a lot of runway here, you know.
Yep.
There's a lot of season left. We're not even at the World Juniors yet.
I know it's late in Switzerland right now. What time is it
there?
Are
you still awake, though? We haven't heard from you in a couple minutes.
Yeah, it's like 4 in the morning here. Bobby McKenzie and Duffy, they're like rolling around.
Is Duffy still wearing that weird outfit from the other night?
How good did him and Dregs look in those outfits?
Outstanding.
They're idiots. Like, if I find out they got paid for that, I quit life.
They should get paid for that.
Yeah.
Did they get paid for that?
I don't know. I kind of feel like the what is it, the Canadian National Ballet or something like that. They've worked this out perfectly.
They did that for PR?
Well, exactly. You know everyone at TSN is going to talk about it. The Leafs are going, doing it soon. Matthews and Marner.
Are they going to wear the exact same suits those two jokers were wearing?
God, I hope not.
I would
Aaron
assume.
Aaron Dreger and James Duffy, that was the worst thing I've ever seen in my life.
The Nutcracker. Well,
yeah.
What are you going to do? All right, buddy. Well, both of you guys, we'll let you guys get back to your prep. I mean, the games are They're getting real close. We're down to the day now. I mean, it's
just I have a meeting downtown Vancouver tomorrow with Ray at a boardroom where we record notes and break down stuff. So thanks for having me, guys, and we'll chat soon.
You got it. There's Jeff O'Neill.
See you tomorrow.
All right, Ray. We'll let you go, too, because you've got a lot of prep, too, I'm sure.
Yeah. See you later.
Yeah. We'll chat tomorrow. There's Ray Ferraro and Jeff O'Neill. Wow, we had two former NHLers on our show.
Yeah, that's
Ray Ferraro, who joins us daily, and Jeff O'Neill, who was a Leaf for a couple of years, and I think he was in Carolina for a while.
Yeah.
It's great to catch up with him. I wonder what he's doing these days.
He recently had his own tribute.
That's right. I saw that on Twitter. It's very important stuff.
Yeah.
Ray and O joined us on the Maple Toyota Hotline. It's the 2019 Toyota RAV4, the safest SUV. See for yourself at Maple Toyota and get rates from 0%. The website is mapletoyota.com. Marcellus Wiley and whoever else wants to call. Maybe Chris Schultz will call in next.
Exactly.
It'll be Wiley and Schultzy on whether or not they're panicking in New England. What's up with Jared Goff? The Bears winning the NFC North? Are the Browns actually in a playoff race? There's a lot going on here. Marcellus will join us next. All right, we have a pair of tickets to give away. Leafs taking on Vancouver January 5th. Every day this week, we will provide the clue to the identity of a current or ex-Maple Leaf player. And on Friday, you can call in, and if you name that Leaf, you're going to see the Leafs take on Vancouver. The clue today is this Maple Leaf has played for 5 NHL teams, including the Canucks and the Bruins. The Canucks and the Bruins. I'm going to that game. I have tickets for that game. I'm looking forward to it. Elias Pettersson and Brock Besser, and they had a big win last night against Edmonton. Yeah, I don't think they're really in it, but Vancouver, they're kind of hanging around.
They're 5-1 in their last 6.
Yeah, they're playing hanging around.
They are hanging around. I don't think they're there in the end as far as a playoff team, but I think they're better than people think. Their young players are playing well. That Patterson's worth the price of admission. Besser's, he was injured a little bit, but Besser's got a big shot, and he's a
coming
very good
alive.
Player. Yeah, they're good young players. Like we talk about tandems throughout the league. You look at tandems in Canada alone. Like
that's a good poll question. I think Edmonton would win it and should
because of McDavid.
And Draisaitl's a step below, but he's a great player. But Matthews Marner. I would take Matthews Marner over Pettersson Besser.
Yes.
But I don't know if I'm taking it over Scheifele and Wheeler. Or, right now, if we're talking, I would take it over the course of 10 years because Wheeler's in his 30s. But for the rest of the season.
But let's not forget, Goudreau Monahan.
Absolutely.
Even
Domi and Drouin have connected big time this year.
They're playing very well. But that's, and I guess you would go in Ottawa, it would be. Maybe Duchesne and Stone.
If they're healthy.
Duchesne's
is a step
out.
Below, I think, but they're still really good players. Yesterday, it was a close game. I wouldn't say it was an all-timer between New England and Pittsburgh, but they both needed that win, and the Steelers got it. They had lost 3 in a row, and they found a way to hold off Brady, and Brady did not have much of an afternoon.
He didn't.
People are poking holes in the goat.
I'm concerned about him, but I mean, I need Marcellus to talk me off the ledge.
Well, he might actually push you off the ledge.
Really?
Well, we'll see.
Here's
longtime NFLer from FS1, our NFL analyst, Marcellus Wiley. Are you starting to panic? If you were in New England, would you be panicking about Brady and the Pats?
Certainly concerned, man. The universe whispers before it yells. And right now they're whispering to us that this is not the same Patriots team. You got to talk about them having a losing record on the road. That hasn't happened but one other time, and that was 2009 under Belichick and Brady. That year they lose at home in the wild card round to Baltimore. We haven't seen a Belichick-Brady team have this many penalties but once before, 14 penalties. You're starting to see all the cracks in a team that's returning to the pack of all the contenders in the AFC. So concerned, yes. Worried and scared and trying to jump off the wagon? Not necessarily. They certainly could right this ship, but it just seems like right now the Patriots are showing all the symptoms of a team that may have an early exit. Untimely mistakes, penalties, beating themselves. All those things are usually recipes for disaster. So we know that this team usually plays its best ball December going forward. but they've lost three of the last five ball games. All those are whispers that this team is not the same.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure I was reading the stat today. They have not lost back-to-back games in December since 2002. Yeah, like, that's how dominant they are in December.
Where are you at with Brady then? Because he's the guy who drives the bus. Is he looking his age?
No, I don't think he's looking his age. Like, even in losses, the only thing that's different is the untimely mistakes, the sack against Miami, which obviously affected the play clock and ability to get a field goal at least. Yesterday, red zone interception. He hasn't had a red zone interception in 2 years. So untimely mistakes, but by performance and by his numbers, in those three games that they've lost, even then he's had 105 quarterback rating or better in three of them. So we've seen him put up some good numbers. But the team is making mistakes at costly times. So I'm not off the Brady wagon, but that was uncharacteristic last night and even a week before of seeing him making those mistakes that came back to bite him.
Well, it sure feels like in the AFC, if it gets to a point where Houston, you know, holds off New England and Pittsburgh, you got a scenario here where the 3 and 4 seeds are going to have to battle it out because you do not want any part of the Chargers or the Chiefs in that first round. I mean, getting that 3 seed and playing what's likely going to be either Baltimore or Indianapolis, maybe Tennessee, that is just, you have to be pushing for that, right? Because if you get the Chargers or the Chiefs, even if you're at home, you're probably going to be an underdog.
Yeah, exactly. There's more parity in this year's playoffs than ever. I can remember NFC or AFC. That said, there is a Tier 1 versus a Tier 2, and Tier 1 is the Chargers and the Chiefs, but they're still beatable as well. But certainly a great balanced attack in the Chargers, and you don't want to deal with that potent offense if you're the Chiefs, despite the Patriots actually beating them. You look at what's going to happen is they have to more than likely travel from Foxborough, and they're not the same team when they leave Foxborough versus when they're staying at home comfortable. So we got to look at those numbers as well. Is this a team that has a little off its fastball? Let's respect it for what it is. But still a team that when things are flowing, they're playing optimal football, they're staying within their own skin. Very dangerous. But I just look forward to seeing who's going to really represent the AFC and NFC, because in years past, the gap between Tier 1 and Tier 2 was much more drastic than it is this year. This year, despite me being a Charger fan and despite me seeing the Chiefs and beating the Chargers at the same time losing to that same Charger team, I don't know which team is truly favored to win it all that I would bet on. So it's going to be a fun playoffs on both sides, both conferences.
With Marcellus Wiley. Well, and that's the thing. We'll stay in L.A. You know, last time we spoke with you, we were pumping the tires of the Chargers, and they deserve that love. But the Rams, all of a sudden, the spotlight is on them because now they've lost two in a row. You know, last week in Chicago, that offense only put up 6 points. It got ugly. And last night, they lost to the Eagles at home. And Jared Goff, people are starting to freak a little bit about him. Where's your head at when it comes to the Rams and Goff and how they're playing going into the playoffs?
Yeah, this is an interesting conversation because the defense has let them down most of the year in terms of their output, and they played lesser than a sum of its parts. They have tremendous names, including Wade Phillips, on the defensive side of the ball, but they haven't played up to expectations defensively. However, in their 2 of 3 losses, they've given up 15, 16, and 30 points. So the defense is finally playing up to expectations of standard, but what's happening is Jared Goff and his accuracy issues is coming back to haunt him. Jared Goff yesterday missed several throws, one to Todd Gurley in the end zone, one to Everett down the sidelines, costly throws that would have put points up on the board. So whatever's going on with Jared Goff the last 3 weeks is really the issue. Despite all season long, the defense has been a problem, but they've been able to compensate because of their offensive production. I mean, this is a team that won a game 54-51. And as much as that's a defensive issue, we didn't have a concern because their offense was playing up to standard. But now they're losing games despite their defense is starting to shore up. So a little out of balance this team is right now. But Jared Goff, of their recent struggles, has been the culprit.
The Browns snuck another one out over the weekend as well, and I've noticed just based on social media, a lot of people are already penciling them into like a Super Bowl next year. And, you know, they got a lot of talent, and Baker Mayfield's a guy, he just feels like he finds a way to win. He doesn't put up spectacular stats, but he's a rookie. You know, you got to give him time to grow, and I think he will continue to do so. But this is a team where, you know, if history tells us anything, you know they're going to screw this up somehow. Where are you at with the Browns in the future?
I thought that this was a 6-8 win ball club this year. That was with Baker Mayfield and Hugh Jackson in tow. Think about it. They drafted well the last couple of years. So I really thought that it was time for all those young stars to rise to the occasion. And they pretty much have. It's very difficult to change the entire culture of an organization, especially in a one-year span. So they're doing twice as much work to get these same victories as you would in another organization where they have that history, they have that good tradition of winning football. So respect to everything they're doing out there. I think they continue to ascend. Baker Mayfield will grow in confidence. He certainly will be more capable at the quarterback position. You are absolutely correct. He's not playing great quarterback football in terms of numbers and production, but he's having winning ways, and he's finding ways to win. So I think they continue to go out there and build around him, and his personality, personnel decisions will be in alignment with him and this ball club, and they continue to ascend. We know that Baltimore looks like they're committed to the run game and Lamar Jackson at quarterback. We know Cincinnati is up and down every single year. We know that Pittsburgh is aging in certain parts and inconsistent in some ways. So it's not a wide open division to win, but it's certainly opportunities for them to make some hay, and I think they continue to do that.
Great stuff, Marcellus, as always, man. Enjoy the week. We'll do it again next Monday.
All right, take care, guys. Talk to you soon.
You got it. There's Marcellus Wiley. Monday night or tonight, Panthers, Saints. Just reading on Pro Football Talk that I guess Lindsey Jones of The Athletic caught up with Jason Witten, and the report is suggesting that ESPN will keep the three-man booth for at least another season of Joe Tessitore, Jason Witten, and Booger McFarlane, and it's taken a beating online.
You don't, yeah. I mean, like, are you fan? Like, where are you at with it?
Well, listen. I think Tessitore is pretty good. I think Booger McFarlane's, you know, pretty good. They're working this out. I mean, sometimes I think we have to be a little bit careful with immediate expectations. And I know, right, it's the biggest platform. This is Monday Night Football on ESPN, and we've got it up here on TSN. Jason Witten has become a pinata online.
But as bad as Sims?
He's the new Sims. He's the new Phil Sims. That is, I think, the way to phrase it. But I think you've got to give him some time. Like, as much as we're all in the business of yelling and screaming, and because of what Romo did last year, he was like a national phenomenon where he was a rookie and he stepped into the booth and was great. Witten, when you hear him on radio interviews, he's very compelling. He's very good. I think he's a smart guy. He knows the game. He just left the game. He's robotic in the booth right now, but I think you got to give him some time.
Well, let him.
You know, yeah, you got to let him breathe a little bit. But that's, so they're going to do that, I guess, on ESPN.
Has Romo gotten better? Like, is he? But is, or is it still kind of the same? I mean,
no,
I like
he's,
him.
Yeah, he still sounds pretty. I think he's pretty slowed down a little bit this year, which is a good thing.
Yeah, because you know, he was a bit yelling hyper and screaming and stuff, which I like the raw passion and the knowledge.
Yes,
he was very knowledgeable.
And that's, you know, they're working on a 3-man booth on ESPN.
That's tough.
Booger McFarlane's down on the field on the Boogermobile. He's not even
in
the booth,
weird.
Which is strange. And you can that's tough for chemistry because if you're not looking at the guy.
It's,
you know,
I can only speak from being in a 2-man situation, especially if I'm in between the benches. I don't have the luxury to look at the play-by-play guy and give him like a signal, like, "Hey, I want to jump in here." So that's why I'm lucky to work with great play-by-play guys, Chris Cuthbert, Gord Miller. They just leave a hole for you to jump in.
They kind of know it. They have a clock in their head.
They've been doing it for 30 years.
This is the time for you to jump in.
Exactly. So I can't imagine a 3-man situation where you're kind of climbing all over each other, and then one guy's in a buggy on the field.
Yeah, and all new guys trying to make a name for themselves in a way, you know?
It is a bit.
So listen, I'm not suggesting it's been perfect. It hasn't. There's been a lot of issues with the booth, but they're, 14 weeks into it?
Yeah.
So you got to give them some time, and if it doesn't work in a year, I'm sure they'll make an adjustment.
They'll adjust.
Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider, will be in studio to kick off the next hour. Jack Armstrong coming up, too. We'll get back into Nick Nurse supporting his guy, Kawhi Leonard, even though it may not have been that warranted. And we'll look back in the four-game roadie. The Raps going 2-for-2. They're back in action at home later in the week. All right, Pierre LeBrun, our Hockey Insider, in studio in the next hour. Jack Armstrong on the Raptors' trip out west. The injuries, what Nick Nurse had to say in defense, I guess, of Kawhi Leonard. See the story out of Ottawa that has caused quite a stir. CTV Ottawa doing God's work, reporting on the outdoor rink dust-up, where I guess some family, they built an outdoor rink.
It's embarrassing. Like, it's embarrassing. Like, that neighbor is a dope.
Yes. So these are the details. A bit surprising, because they built the rink in the front yard, kind of in the side of the house.
Yeah, it looks like that's their only space, maybe the carport or something.
Yes.
It kind of looks raised a little bit. It does look a bit awkward, but who cares?
Nobody should care, but somebody did care. So they put up boards, and this Scrooge of a human being, the Scrooge-ette, this woman called the cops to complain that the boards were an eyesore, and she doesn't want them up there because when she looks out her window, she has to stare at that stuff. And she's like, yeah, they're out there playing now, but in March and April when it's still up and the kids are done with playing with it, I'm still going to have to stare at it. Now, the cops have to entertain this stuff because...
But I guarantee you the cops get this call and they're like, oh, that's this idiot.
Oh, I'm sure she's been flagged.
Yeah,
if she's calling complaining about this, she's complained about a million things.
Your dog pooped in my lawn. I was secretly hoping one of the kids would have a wrist shot and put it right through her front window.
Like, maybe that's what the actual concern is.
That's probably why.
That some kid thinks he's Brett Hall and just
wires
one
off the side of the house or through a window. It bothers me when these like do-gooders, they're always whining. Like, just close your yap.
Yeah.
Close the blinds.
Who cares?
And move on with life. You know what's better? Okay, here would be the... In her mind, is it better that those kids have their face buried in an iPad inside for 24 hours a day?
Well, that's what's going to happen now. That's exactly... Because kids aren't allowed to play ball hockey anymore. You're not allowed to skate outside. You're not allowed to go get the pucks and the balls if they go over somebody else's fence.
So what would you rather have? The kids...
Well, she's saying she'd rather they sit inside. She obviously doesn't care about that.
Yeah.
You know, what really...
She's a loser.
What should have happened here... Well, she should have gone to the parents.
Hate that lady.
She should have gone to the parents and said, listen, let's work out a deal here. Because I don't love this. I'm just being honest. And as a Canadian, you're allowed to complain. You know, we can hate it all you want. You have the right to complain. She should have gone to them and said, listen, I don't like this, but here's what I would like to see happen.
Any chance?
You guys can have it. Your kids, if we got any snow here, your kids shovel my yard.
Yeah, like just, but
do
be a good neighbor. Like, just don't be a jackass.
Well, that's the obvious normal answer. Yeah. Who cares? But if you really have a problem with it, try to make something out of it. Yeah. And be like, here's a tit for tat. You guys want that? Your kids want to play and make all this noise and all that kind of stuff. Whenever it snows, send them over to my house and they can shovel my driveway.
I was furious when I read that
yesterday. It's a gutless move.
Just screw
Jack. Gutless move. Pierre LeBrun and Jack Armstrong next.
You're listening to the Overdrive Podcast, Hour 2. Brought to you in part by Alpine Credits. Own your home and need a loan? With Alpine Credits, homeowners get approved.